Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You are listening once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Imam Alfred, the host of Religion Means Alive. And we're going to have with us today our Imam Latif.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Welcome to Religion Means Alive. I'm calling you direct from the Religion Means Alive line, and we are welcoming you to Religion Means Alive. Welcome, Brother Imam Latif of Louisiana. I'm not going to say one particular city because you seem to go all over. You are largest
yes, sir.
In the state of Louisiana. Welcome to Religion Means Alive. Would you give us an opening statement?
Yes, sir. I surely will, brother. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. There's the opening swear that I bear witness there's no God worthy to worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I bear witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah is his messenger and he is our prophet. And I greet you, my beloved family of humanity. Assalamu alaikum. And it varies a wonderful opportunity. I was in a presentation calling you. I was so on the other line. I had to log off from the Blog Talk Radio. Okay. But to address something, we had talked earlier about reviving our unity through the legacy of excellence.
Yes, sir.
Hello, Brother Imam. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And about a,
that's great.
Yeah, well,
I want you, Brother Imam, to also, while we take care of some stuff in the studio, if you would spit some of them powerful lyrics. You know, we had a great minister in New Jersey named Minister
yes,
James Chabal. He was called the Son of Thunder. And
yes, sir.
I'm happy to tell you that you sound and remind me of that spirit. He spread
yes, sir.
Islam throughout the state of New Jersey and in other states. He even converted a whole church to Islam. And I believe right there in Louisiana and Southeast United States, whole churches will convert under your great leadership. So while we're waiting
yes,
to ask questions, would you delight us with some of those beautiful lyrics that you promoted at our convention? Give us the theme of the convention again.
Yes, sir. The theme of our convention was reviving our unity through the legacy of excellence. And one of the beautiful things is good you're saying it is what I'm working on a project right now. And it's called Break These Chains. And it's a spoken word. Break these chains. Break these chains. And let us go free. And let us go free. Break these chains. These chains. Let us go free. Let us go free. Shackled down, depressed, and rough. Everything that's going on since we're going for the greed of lust. Look at the standbys of corners. Everybody that's sitting back duped and reds around in marijuana. Hoping out for a spirit. But nobody got the word to really touch near it. Everything that started off in nature. But we see how the conspirator of creation has turned us against the creator. Disconnecting us from the umbilical cord. Now look at us there with the dislike and hatred for war. Everything that had us focus upon these wars. We're not even instituting developed education to help us get through these causes. Everything that started off from effect. But when Lynch came down to disinfect, took things that were meant to be unity, despised and tried to uproot our unity. Unity is power. Unity is Shaiyat. Unity has the force of command, but these are the things that they wanted to take out of our hands. Everything was meant as they indoctrinated with three-fifths artificial humanisms that had us off in these rifts. But everybody sit by the river waiting for the remains. But these are the things that can only come out of my veins. Break these chains. Break these chains. Let us go free. Let us go free. Break these chains. World, break these chains. Let us go free. Let us go free. Read the indoctrinations, literature's down to language. Everything that's coming on us, everything that is poaching us from focus. We understand this lesson. Perception is really our truthful message. Perception is really our truthful method. Perception is the one to deliver us heaven, to give us heaven on earth before we can experience heaven outside of earth. Everything that started internally. So they wonder why these words got me burning internally. As I turn back into this lifestyle, see these things that's going wild while my brothers are sitting in the midst of fire. Can I get some words to keep us from burning in the midst of fire? Roots never caving in. Signs to help us to get us through these winds. These winds and causes of turbulence. Everything that's going on and we hoping on a word to fervor us. Put down on these seeds that's underneath the soil. Grow these plants and help us grow tall. Give us the wisdom and knowledge to stand on our own stems so we can bring out this legacy to begin. Goodness is on the rise. Once these shackles has fell down from my eyes, goodness is on the rise. Once I'm able to climb that mountain top, goodness is on the rise. Once as I develop the style for not calling myself a nigger, goodness is on the rise. Once these shackles fall from my head, from these figurations, for these things that I'm facing, for all of this truth that's in the making, please break these chains. Brothers, break these chains. Sisters, break these chains and let us go free.
Well, that's a very pop. We need to break these chains. So you're suggesting, Brother Imam, even though we are physically free, how is it that we got chains on us? I mean, 2 Chainz has, he has money. Rick Ross has money. Jay-Z
yes,
has money. How can
yes,
you
sir.
Say that he didn't have chains on them? Nicki Minaj has all kinds of assets.
That's right.
And well, I won't say this because I'm not I'm in polite company. But I mean,
right.
You mean to tell me these people have chains on them too? How so, brother?
Yes,
man, would you explain that?
Yes, sir. And as you look at, even when they subliminally give it to us on the TVs, every time we had to have that big rope around our neck with that big money symbol, that's to let us know that they was holding us by a link. And when you look at, when they give us material, and we understand that we come from a material nature. We started from a material nature. But we understand that English wanted to separate us from the having the spiritual and the material together. So they figured that if they could keep us chained to the material, we'll never be able to develop and evolve to a spiritual nature, which is our higher nature, to our nature that gives us peace. And once we be able to evolve to that stage, they understand that we'll be free, just like it says that Prophet Muhammad was free in the city because he could have had chains. They wanted to offer him chains, but he didn't want chains. He wanted to be free. And when God gave him that freedom, and that's one of the things that they're using in the hip-hop world. They give us the materialism, and all of this stuff that they're giving them is an insurance policy. It's really not theirs. But the people that's out there, they don't know. You know, it's a magic trick that they playing on the people that don't know what's going on behind the scenes. What they don't know is before that video come on, we've been given all of these things to put on. At first, we're a naked idol. If you remember, a lot of the idolatry, they put chains around an idol. They put clothes around him. They paint him. Well, that's the same thing they're doing now. When a rapper come on the stage, they say, well, they told me I wasn't the right image. I needed to be tattooed up. So I had to tattoo my body up. Then they say, well, you wasn't the right, you really don't got the right background. We need a little bit of your criminality to be exploited. So I had to go out and commit a crime or indulge off in some kind of action. And once I done that, then that was my pillars. That, like Pharaoh asked Karun to build up his pillars so he can be right against the God of Moses. So that's what they wanted us to do, to build our pillars on falsehood. So they wanted us to have those ropes around our neck to show that we got these niggas in chains. Look what they got. And everything that we have, it kept us in chains. It wasn't for us. We didn't evolve. That $10,000 insurance policy diamond necklace that that sister be wearing, that ain't evolve her for the next day. That ain't get us through anything. That was to make the jewelry man rich, the Jew rich. You know, that's the thing that they was doing. They using them as a puppet, as a billboard, so we can see symbolically that them chains that they giving us right on the TV is showing us mentally they got us in chains.
Honey, ma'am, how then do you explain the situation of our brothers and sisters in Ferguson, Missouri, wherein they are they're the population in the town, but they're not on the school board. They're not they don't own the businesses. So you are telling me that they too have chains around their neck? I mean, they're free to move out. They're free to buy in the store. We even seen them shopping in the store. But the economy is not ruled by them. Is that a chain? Explain that to us.
Yes, sir. And that goes all the way back to the public education system. And we remember, you know, from the late leadership, because the brother's language is alive. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that the schools was the killing fields. And when you disconnect a person from his spiritual nature, from everything, and spiritual is really his totality of education, government. You know, when they took that from us, they got brothers in our schools now. You ask them who their House representative is, they don't know. You know, because we've been, the only thing they want to advertise us to is music, football, all these things. That they want us to exercise our physical body, but they don't want us to exercise our mind. So as long as they keep us attracted to what moves the physical body, they can always keep us outside of the box that controls the main crew, like the mayor, from the mayor to the governor, you know, to our House of Representatives. What these people do? What do they operate on? And something that Imam Muhammad gave us so beautifully in our conception of wholeness in the Ramadan sessions was that to show us how how these different compartments in the spiritual republic are knowing about our citizenship. If we know about our true citizenship, we will be able to exercise the power that to change things. As it says, to the republic, the power is to the republic. See, when the teacher was telling us to say the words, she wasn't giving us the definition of those words. When we did our pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic in which it stands, see, she didn't tell us what that meant. We were just saying the words. So we had a padlock right there. We went inside of our citizenship. So it now mentioned about in Egypt times, the oracle, that you can be in Egypt, but if you don't know the key words to get in Egypt, you're really not in Egypt. And it's the same way with America. See, we can be in America. We're getting all the different things from America. We've been in the holidays. We're joining on with all of that. But if we don't have the keys to our citizenship, we're really not in America. So that's a fatal flaw that's happening in Ferguson right now. It's because a lot of us been, if you go back months and months prior to this incident happening, there was a lot of things that happened in Ferguson that wasn't even put on the main street that a lot of people don't know about. And when the mayor and governor that was there, all these people being uprooted out of these different seats, and they taking the control. This the big monopoly board that they playing on us. And it's about power control. And they know that unity goes back to unity. If we don't have a unity We don't have a command. We don't have a voice. And by us not knowing about politics, us not knowing about the being, what the judge do, what do the our state attorney general do, you know, what do these people, what is these people's position? You know, we don't know about that, but they want us to know about Burger King and Walmart and, you know, doing these little footworking jobs, but they don't want us to know about the things that really make the world operate in the way that it operates.
I'm very interested in knowing why more imams in these United States are not discussing these issues. It seems to me that you are one of the few imams out of the hundreds of imams in Imam Muhammad's association that is even concerned about the beliefs of them. Why are you concerned when you could just have your deluxe apartment in the sky? You could just be given raps. You're very good as speaker, very effective.
Yes, sir.
Why not lay back in the cut and just chill?
Because when Islam was really out, it was an invitation given to me. The true principle of a Muslim is his whole environment. Allah said that the whole earth was one. And he given us an obligation, given us a job. And that's what made me, I can't just sit down in my bed. I didn't get up and do salat five times a day, pay zakat, come back home, you know. But that it wasn't enough. My heart, my soul, it wasn't enough because I'm walking outside of my door and I'm seeing things that's going on in my community, but I'm reading about the Moors that went into Spain and turned the whole civilization for 800-something years, goes into the Byzantine Empire, and I'm watching this Islam that I have in my hands, in my possession, transform the world. But yet, in this time here, it's so ineffective. It's weak. So that's when I was like, wait a minute. But then I'm not following God. Then God can't be in this faith if this is the purpose. If this is what it is, it's just for me to do all what I'm doing right now. No, this is spread out and to transform because Allah said this is the best community. But it was for the night and us to go out and do it. So that's what made me in my heart to say that I really could not be a believer or be a person of faith if my faith wasn't seen in my works. And it said that Prophet Muhammad was one of those ones that he would give his last. It said that Imam Muhammad stood up for nights at the table, writing, doing deep to try to help us in our conditions. And when he used to talk on the phone with Master Farid Muhammad about the certain things, when people didn't know this man had telephone conversations with him, and how he talked to his father, how his father had to use certain methodologies to get us out of situations. You know, because see, when people, the gentrification, when my genes look in history and I see a brother at the state capitol with I am a man sign and he got a canine dog suck on him, that does something in my, that went in my gene pool and went to hit nervous systems. And I went to seeing things, I'm like, wait a minute. Well, why didn't they want us to call ourselves a man? Because man is mine. So everyone out there is in this same state. Humanity is in this same state. And we have to go out and get his word.
Brother Imam, I'm also interested. You were at the Reviving Our Unity through the Legacy of Excellence. It was reported by, now I'm going to just make a short comment before I ask you the question.
Okay.
And there, I have asked Imam Mubashir Bukhdar to come on the program to correct something. He said he was at the convention, but I wear glasses. And
okay.
They may accuse me of not having 20/20 vision. But he said that Brother Imam Bashir Ali was thrown out of the convention. Now, you and I were in the Imam's meeting. In fact, I remember you speaking unless I'm blind. Now, I don't know. Didn't you see Imam Bashir Ali speaking, not only speaking, but presiding over the Imam's meeting? So how then can you explain what Imam Bashir Muqtada is saying? And I want to be fair to our dear brother and dear friend. I invited him to come on the show. I haven't heard from him yet. I did say on the show, I got a little heated and called him a liar. Please forgive me, audience. But maybe he was there mistaken. Maybe he was there hidden in the ceiling. I didn't see him. I searched for him. But I want you to comment on the Muslim Mosque Carriers Convention, Reviving Our Unity through Legacy of Excellence. Would you give us a report on the Imam's meeting? Because it's been one of the best kept secrets I have ever heard. Nobody mentioned it. It's no conversation about it, but they're always saying his brother, Imam Bashir Ali, and I think he's about 6 feet, 4 inches tall. He is a man that he couldn't hide. I saw him standing at the podium. Am I correct in saying that I saw him there?
That's right. You're very correct. And matter of fact, he was three section. It was like a four section row. You were sitting right behind Brother Imam Kazem, and you was the second row right there. He was the other, like the fourth row, and sitting right on the outside. I'm sitting looking at him when he stood up, and he went to mentioning about the Imam's meeting, about the Ramadan time, and about and addressing the Ferguson thing. He actually got up and said something about that. So yes, sir, I seen him right there.
Yes, sir. So I don't know whether our brother, I wore glasses, so I didn't, I wanted to be given the benefit of the doubt. Maybe I was seeing things. But I thought that was Brother Imam Bashir Ali.
That was him.
And you all can join the conversation at 805-727-7013. If anybody has the number of our dear brother and dear friend, Brother Imam Mubashir Ukda, please give him the number and tell him to call 805-727-7013. I want to ask you, Brother Imam, what were your impressions
of the meeting?
Before we go to the Imam's meeting, I want to go first to the general convention. Give us your take on that.
The general convention and what the purpose of it, it was very informative. Everything down from the Sister Clara Muhammad schools to the Religion Means Alive to the Ramadan Hajis for the Hajis and the people that's looking to connect to going on Hajj, the marriage counseling, everything. It was very informative. The business market, the interactions. And Brother Warren D. Muhammad II, this brother is wholesome, like good wholesome homemade bread that we get down here. This brother's wholesome, heartfelt brother, and I never, one thing that he always, I remember him mentioning even at the banquet, I was there, and the brother never refused anyone. And that's the absolute truth, and I can bear witness to that. And I'm not even in Chicago, but this brother, when he came to Plaquemine, Louisiana, he embraced me he's seen me for years, and it was just that love and that connection. So I never got a chance to get a bad spirit or anything bad with this brother and what he has to offer us. Beautiful brother, and the community, you can see that in the convention and everything. You left there with something. I'm still talking about work. I haven't stopped talking about work, so this was very informative to bring you out. And Brother Mel, it just really, you put the icing on the cake when you say religion means alive, because, that's what I was searching for. I was walking through South by Mawa, and I was looking for some good water. and that's religion is alive.
Yes, sir. I thank you for those compliments. I want to ask you now, Brother Imam, you were at the Imam's meeting, and I want you to just give your impressions and kind of a report of the Imam's meeting. Again, this has been a best-kept secret, what went on at the Imam. We were very pleasant. I thought we had a very good meeting, but that's my impression. I'd like to get you and say you're much younger than I, and you probably have a keener mind than I, and obviously you're more blessed than I. So I want you to tell us what were your impressions of the convention?
And that's a good question, and I want to just put this as a head into my comment to that, because now I mentioned something in this conception of holiness, and I want to bring this to his address. This is his quote. He said, "Life begins wanting agreement, and to have agreement, life disagree. Life disagrees to have agreement." Now, to say this, to say why I said that is to say that a lot of times inside of an emails meeting, it's like you sitting right there at the Pentagon, and you got a lot of executive decisions going across tables, and you know some things that they figured should be top priority is not top priority. And it's a lot of emotion rising because it's not top priority. And it's something that we feel we got to address. So these are the type of things that goes on inside of meetings like that. But it brings out something, too, because in the disagreement is the agreement, because you find solutions. And one of the things, and that's one of the things that I got out of it, that when we do have these type of meetings, that these meetings be about everyone's contributions and not just one person's contribution. And, you know, and that's one of the things that we all had different initiatives that we were going through, doors that we were going through, and we was all meeting at that front. And a lot of the things that were said are dealing with, like, Ramadan, our Ramadan time, based on the Ramadan time that's around the world internationally. Well, okay, to them that seems like a top initiative. And the thing dealing with Ferguson, the email meeting, they addressed the thing to Ferguson, which the brother had good, valid points. And he mentioned not only just Brother Michael Brown, but the other brothers and sisters that have become fatal tragedies to the things that happened. So those things were met but not addressed in a whole like we wanted them to be addressed, especially from Ishmael Kadar. The brother, you know, mentioned something so formative that, you know, there's not a connection of the elders and the youth. And the youth weren't looking for that guidance ship to try to, you know, to go out and connect with people. So these were the things that we want to do. So that, and that means it was like, well, okay, well, the young imams need to get together and meet. No, we really, all of us need to meet at a round table. You know, and we deal with our differences. We look at our differences. We're not leaving out those differences and like we getting our own militia group and ready to go to war. But we getting together, still out of this. We assalamu alaikum. We protect that peace and never destroy that peace. You know, so these are the things that goes on inside of the community when we have these conventions. And this is my first time being to one. So this was like really really informative to me when I watched it. But you got to go in there with that type of guideship over your head, because sometimes you can go into something that you really don't know what's going on.
And you, what I liked about you, you didn't sit on the sidelines, and you were not intimidated by people quoting Arabic.
Imam,
you didn't stop me when I got up to represent mosque cares at Psalm perhaps would have, but nobody really resisted what we had to say. And I thought it was a very fruitful meeting, because I did tell Imams my honest opinion that I thought they had sat down on the job of Mosque Cares. They had sat down on the job of Imam Muhammad, because the convention should have been at a convention center with 100,000 people if they brought people out. And we should be at the Astrodome, we should have been at the United Center with 1,500,000 people, and the convention, Mosque Cares should have left with $10 to $15 million so we could build schools and businesses, take care of our senior citizens, take care of our youth. We too large a population to be broke, hungry, and out of doors. We should have had a convention center by. So I really was passionate, and I even told the imams that we cannot forget the fact that we are fresh Muslims, but old niggas. I quoted what Imam Muhammad said.
That's right.
I don't want us to ever misunderstand that just because we can say two words in Arabic and we got three assalamu alaikum forms and two forms of the verb, that our people are suffering in these cities, they're suffering in the country, our lawyers don't have jobs, our doctors don't have jobs, our carpenters don't have jobs. It seems to me that there's something wrong with education of us, and that we have been imparted the teachings of Imam Debbie Dean Muhammad. Will you comment on that?
Yes, sir, and that's very true, because that's the same type of thing that, you know, I'm looking at down here, being in Southeast Louisiana, and like, where do we get our funds to build a masjid? You know, to get new updated Qurans for during Ramadan. You know, and where, what school, what kind of school do we have that like the Jews have the synagogue and they have a school, they have a center. The Masons have a center for their daycare centers, and you know, Christians have the same thing. You know, so we supposed to have that same type of network. And it's like, you know, who do we go to for this type of funding so we can be established as an educational institution like this? And, you know, that's where the weak, that's where those weak lines at. You know, you have a lot of those weak lines where the communication is very light. And those issues, like you were saying, those issues, like if I'm going to put $15 million to anything, I want to put $15 million to ownership. Because that goes back to the Constitution. For me to own something, like, I'm not going to come and put 24 or 48 years of paying you, and I got to leave at a certain time. Or I can't go in this building because this open space right here, I didn't pay for it. You know, where I can have my own thing where we can do, where we can really network. You know, so that's true, and it's all through the financial, because we have everything. But it's the financial situation is where the big problem is at.
So, and we have millions of people, and our race has $1.1 trillion, and I would dare say the Muslims probably at least spend, they're probably at least $100 billion that the Muslims spend. Looked at the Muslims, we may be 5% of the population. So we put 1.1%, we 5% of $1.1 trillion, we are spending $55 billion. I'm talking African-American Muslims. It's about $55 billion we spend. Imagine how many schools we could have if that money turned only one time in our community. It seems to me that the Imam should be addressing these issues. This is the stuff that they should be talking about. It seems to me that we should be talking about how we build Claude Muhammad School, how we can get Ray Ray a job so Ray Ray can build a family, you know, so Keisha can be a better mother. In fact, she won't be Keisha no more. She would be Khadija. Ray Ray would be Rahman. But it seems that Ray Ray is the guy that we haven't reached yet. Tell us how you came into El Islam. And how you was no longer Ray Ray, a stinger, you didn't need a burner, you didn't have to follow Master P, but you followed the master Bilal to the prophet himself, and right on to the Quran, to Imam Muhammad. Tell us about that.
Oh, yes, sir. That started, you know, I was really actually, when I started in 2000, I winded up being incarcerated in 2001. Of June, and I was on waiting on a pretrial to on robbery charge, and I winded up getting convicted in 2004 of June. So all of the people that was five other brothers with me, those other four went home, and I was the only one there because I was the oldest one, and winded up going through a whole big old, you know, wilding inside the institution, 17 years old, and you know, I'm wilding in and out. And winds up the brother that used to do a pastor that used to do, we used to have, we called a jailhouse minister. This brother, he laid up there, you know, he laid up there and rolled out. He was gone. He winded up going home. So nobody was like there to do the prayer call. And I noticed that. And I was like, and just something just got me up to go to that prayer call, and I just, like, picked it up, and I was like, you know, I'm not a student of the Bible or anything or reading the Bible, but I do remember the man saying the dog under the table, getting the crumbs, you know, and, you know, I'm just paraphrasing what the scripture was saying, and I said, well, I'm that dog. We that dog. We the dogs under the master's table, you know, getting the crumbs. And from there, like, everybody was, like, kind of into it, sitting at the table, and we just started, and I started talking to God. I just talking to him. I didn't know a ritualistic form. But a brother came by that was in the nation. I don't know if it was nation or what. And we just had a good conversation, and he went to telling me about things, but I was kind of a little afraid there. And I winded up going getting into the institution and meeting some other brothers that had a little bit of Islam and not the real Islam. And this brother brought me to email Warren D. Muhammad. And I didn't even know who the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was at this time. I didn't know nothing about Malcolm. And this was just real crazy that all these people existed, and I didn't know anything about him. But long story short, Brother Che Abu Bakr was from Aurora, Los Angeles. Blessings be on this brother. This brother brought me to Al-Quran and brought me to the community of Imam Warren D. Muhammad. His mother and father was in the first resurrection, and they came over, and that's how I winded up getting a lot of information about Islam. And the brother brought me to the dean, introduced me to the dean, and that was the first thing. I remember Imam saying that his feet was dangling from the chair during the Savior's Day, and his father saying, freedom, justice, and equality. Islam is freedom, justice, and equality. And that's what hold on to me. That's all I knew. I knew that better than the Fatiha. And I had a hard time with the Fatiha. But freedom, justice, and equality. And that started breaking chains on my body. And that's what started making that started bringing me up, and your own self obligates you. And that was a good cue for me, because I wrote down quotes, and they say repetitiveness is very conducive for higher learning. So the more you say something repetitively over and over and over again, that gets those joints working. So I kept saying those things every day. And my doers, my strong doers, Allah, if I'm not seeing you correctly, help me to see you correctly. So email words with the being my words, and we with the being one, and that's what brought me out of that condition. And that's how I became rooted in Islam.
You believe if this message were brought to the broad African-American community, they would become just like you. I also noticed that you have studied the Quran and you read it. You have studied it, you read it in the original language in Arabic. How did you learn that?
Actually, Allah taught me.
I bet with it. That's how, you know what, most of what I learned, I mean, I know Allah taught me, because I went to a few classes here and there, but I learned the Quran from just studying it, brother. And time I pick it up and read it in Arabic, I learn more and more from it. I don't say you have to read to learn the Arabic, because I'm not going to put that on people, too. Some of these people run around and put burdens on the people. But just read. You know what? I must have read the Quran so many times, first in English. It's enough, and it's in English to wake you up. But I want you to talk about how you, I heard you introduced us, made opening remarks last Sunday. Well, I'll be back again this Sunday. And you, what I like about you, that you have also studied, you've gone, you've taken Imam Muhammad's teachings, you haven't got to become a big-headed scientist, you've studied the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I don't think you can really fully understand Imam Muhammad unless you study the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I think you really can appreciate
that's correct.
Would you agree with that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And he mentioned that in one of his lectures. He said that in order for you to know where Al-Islam is at right now, is present, you have to go back and study with the Nation of Islam. And it was like, you know, you go back and look at the transition and what it took for them to get to where they're at now. So that's what I see when it comes with Imam Muhammad and his in the town still, he met Muhammad, this language, this scientific language, this religious language, this human language, I call it. He bringing back something that was already in our nature. And that's what he's bringing back to us.
Down in Louisiana, it is reported by scholars that many of the Muslims from Louisiana, most of them, in fact, came from Muslim background. So when you said it, when you got that call and you heard their band, I wanted to ask you, did that something feel like you'd heard this before?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I got goosebumps.
But I know I experienced that. It looked like I could feel it. Yes, sir.
I had, and this is, and Allah is my witness, and on Yaba Kiyama, he's going to bring this up. He gave me a vision, and it was, you know, the ghost people that be on sci-fi, they be going to these ghost houses. It was in my dream, and it was running out of this trailer. They was running out of this trailer park, this trailer community that we have. They was running out of there. You know, they was running. Like, I'm like, wow, are these guys running from the ghost? So I'm like, what's going on? So somebody was telling me, something has happened. This ghost is uncontrollable in the house, the Rana's house, so they running out. So someone was telling me, well, you go in there, Abdullah, go to the house. So I goes in this trailer house, and if you remember old televisions, they used to have the flow model TV on the bottom and got the small box one with the spin on the top. So that was a little, I guess that was our TV counter we just had for the pop the TV up. So that TV was on there. Something just told me it was cold in there just to say they're done. So I said they're done, and the ghost came out and revealed itself and went to saying they're done with me. And it was a woman. It was an older woman. And when I asked her, she was sitting watching the TV, and I pointed at the TV, and the TV went off. And I asked her, where did you learn that language from? She said, this was from my brother, who was a prince, and they took him. So when I woke up, and I went to my brother, Wali Muhammad, and went and told him about my dream, and I went to listen to a little bit of what Imam said, that your ancestors is in your genes. And your ancestors speaking to you. And if anybody remember that convention that he spoke at, where he was at a school auditorium, and he said that the ancestor was praying that one day we'll pick this religion back up. And that was my great ancestors that I was talking to, who were Muslim. And that's what connected me with the Adon. That's how it felt so relevant.
Yes. Brother, that's what it makes it, brother. And I want to know, how then can we forget our poor brother, like poor brother Ray, who obviously is having a hard time? He seems to have a chain. I'm not ready to throw him out yet. I'm not ready to throw him out. I want him. I believe if he heard Brother Imam Latif teaching, I believe you could turn Ray, brother, with what the medicine you got.
Yes,
from the great teacher and doctor, the two doctors, the two masters have come to us, the three masters. Don't you think you could afford Ray Lewis to be a real raven and hide his shame and destroy that dragon, that monster that is in him, and bring him to his fitful? I want you to comment on that and see whether there's any hope for Brother Ray. And then while you edit, I want you to talk also about our dear brother and dear friend, Brother Paul Mayweather. Any of you know him?
Yes, sir.
I believe that Islam fits us like a glove. Wouldn't you agree?
That's right. Yes, sir. It truly does. It truly does. And Brother Ray, I was once Brother Ray. Brother Ray still links in me, and I go to Brother Ray to look at him to never forget where I come from. Brother Ray is really our test. Because see, when Allah say, the token of time through the ages, verily man is at loss. So he says, sabr, patience. Allah give us patience, but he give us a circumstance to work to benefit from the patience. And when we look at the brother that's out there in the street, and the sister that's out there in the street, and we look at the high crime, it's for us to exercise patience. That's opportunity for us. We supposed to be running head on at it because it's opportunity. Because and this go back with the reference to what I'm saying with that. When Master Paul was telling the honor of Elijah Muhammad, a strategy to deal with the people, our pioneers that was before us, he told them that what was hurting in that time in the 1930s, it was during the Great Depression. We didn't have good employment. We really was boycotted out of a lot of jobs and everything. So it was no way for us to accumulate any kind of wealth, and we had to take the lower penny nickel jobs and go work. And we wonder why, in that gene pool, why a lot of people don't like working. But that was one of those situations, and a brother told him to come at them with the material. Come show them something that they can see, and that'll pull them out of the conditions. So their economic stability with the pulling us out, because when they went to seeing your fish, your restaurant, your plays, your conventions, these things right here with the pulling them out. So Ray was coming in those buildings. Ray was putting his ex on. Ray Abdullah now. So those are the things that, like you know, said, we have to come with the same method. We have to come with the same method here, and he said they need to do a same type of mass support. They need to go to Africa, to our African brothers over there in Africa. So this is a strategy. This is an opportunity for us to exercise power and to go into these communities and transform them. But we can't be afraid because fear that Willie Lynch is still in us. We scared of Islam. We're scared because of what we're seeing being broadcasted, but Allah tells us in Surah 35, he said, don't let the shaitan deceive you about me. Because he knows that the world going to try to deceive us about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about al-Islam, and about how we, with our women, and how our women are protected, and they want to put this big old curtail out that we abuse our women and they are oppressed and killing them and things like that. And we know this is nothing but the shaitan, because all throughout the Quran, it gives high admirations to the woman. And so do we see this artificiality that's out there that's on Ray's head, and Ray got an opportunity to take those shackles off of his head. Take those shackles off of his heart and wake up. And this was a sign. Allah said, he's right beyond me. And the brother broke it down in street terms that Allah can talk to the gangster. He got a message even for the gangster. And that's what woke me up, because I knew God was on my level. And Nas used to have a song, God love us hood niggas, excuse my language. But he said next to Jesus on the cross was a crook. And that made us feel good about God. The brothers that's in prison. And we felt good, and we started waking up. Ray started coming up. Ray started reading. Ray got his confidence back, because I didn't have confidence to take a GED test, to take a college prep test. I didn't have the confidence. But when al-Islam came and it said read, the first words to the prophet was to read, then I was like, wait a minute. He told man the use of the pen, then them neurons with the working, hold up, let me sit at this table, let me get my understanding, let me get my confidence back, let me put my emotions in a proper position where it's supposed to be at, and let me make way, go ahead, submit to God, and bring Abdullah out, the worker doula, the worker, bring that work out. And that's what happened. And to me, that strategy, that WD-40, that's what I call the WD-40. That strategy woke me up. So it's the same thing we should do out there in the streets, out there, not just in the street with the brothers in the streets. We got college right now is out doing the streets and drug pushing.
That's right. We got doctors doing drugs. We got doctors. Everybody. Now there's an equal opportunity to destroy. Satan ain't discriminating. He's kicking behind, kicking booty, and taking names. So we got to go with the rescue squad and go after our people. That's right. That's exactly right. See, buddy, you have the spirit, the will, and the determination. And I believe when we have We don't need but 4 or 5 imams like you lighting this country up. I'd love to see you come to Newark and hold a crusade, 5-day crusade, to revive and tell the people, tell the gangsters, hey, put up your player card, turn them in. You know, I want you to talk about our dear friend, Brother Floyd Mayweather, and what your opinion of Brother Floyd, and how is any help for Brother Floyd?
There is help for Brother Floyd. And the way the media has got us to dislike Brother Floyd's achievements. See, he achieving. See, this brother is in the youth doing what Muhammad Ali done. If they ever read his book, he spoke highly about Muhammad Ali, but he said, I want to see past that. And he's doing some wonderful things. But the world want to strip him from them. And then they want to make, you know, mock him and ridicule him with the reading thing. But what everybody got to see, it's not just Floyd Mayweather that they talking about. They talking about all of the African-Americans that's in these athletic sports. That they try to make us look like we're ignorant. Look at Adrian Peterson. Look how they done that situation. Look how they doing all the rest of these situations with us as African-American athletes. They showing, oh, this is what, they're not smart. This is what they are right here. You know, and the brother that said this made the comment about Magic Johnson with the Clippers. So this thing, you know, they love this. They love it. They love it. You know, but to show us, we shouldn't beat our brother down. We should support that brother. We should hold that brother up because that's what's wrong. We want to beat brothers down. We want to pick the stones up and go and throw brothers down instead of embracing these brothers and helping these brothers. Because the brother mentioned something so beautiful. Brother Torres said the last Sunday, he said, we need love. And that word high son, that word love is not just the love that we saying as an emotional expression. We talking about we need evolution. We need the love that's going to evolve us. And that brother is an excellent achiever. And to my children, he is one of the supermen, super black men in our community. Because my son love him. They love him. You know, and I say I like what he say, and I like what he go out there and do. And everybody look at his tape. He never gave the least respect to any of his opponents. He mastered and studied him. He mastered him, gave him high admiration. And every time, just like his fight, he's going to go fight again. He's going to be on him more than what he was on the first because he studied him. He learned him. And that's a fight. That's a true champion. And they want to take that from him, but they can't take that from him because the brother's done achieved because Allah is the one that's working his brother to make him do them good achievements like he's doing.
Brother
Imam?
Yeah, Brother Imam. Where are you teaching that on a regular basis?
I'm teaching right now at my home, right here in Constitution. Yes, sir. I'm teaching at my home. We meet together, and Brother Fareed Waheed, he's from Chicago. He was one of the foot soldiers for the brother Malcolm X, and he was down here in Louisiana. We got introduced to this brother for this Ramadan. This was a blessing upon us. And the brother gave us a little history about Hammond and how Hammond, they identified Hammond as the city of Muhammad because that word Hammond. And they used to have temples that was right around from where I ran around as a little boy. They had temples there. So this was like a reviving of the excellence that was once in that community.
Yes, sir. So... will you run some of those? You have a lyric, spit that one out called Reed.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that Reed, when I say I'm talking to my wife about 6 o'clock, she said, get up, soldier, look, it's getting hot. I said, what you need, baby? She said, we need some hope. I said, wait, chill, let me go in there and guard, though. Now, when I said my wife, I'm talking about the community. I'm talking about the life. I'm talking about the Virgin Mary. My community asking me that we need hope because you look out in the society, it's like they don't have no hope. We don't have no hope. We gave it all up. And she said, we need hope. I said, wait, chill, let me go and ask God, though. God, I need you. This time is shady. What's happening, soldier? I cannot help you in this day, bro. You see what's happening, what's going on up in this thing? They talk about we black. They talk about we white. They talk about Mexican. They talk about Chinese. And Allah say, I created you to learn from one another, not to despise and hate one another. The greatest among you is the most pious among you. So I'm telling them, we talk about we black. They talk about we white. They talk about Mexican. They talk about Chinese. Look how I'm supposed to survive. Look how I'm supposed to eat. How I'm supposed to make it in a society that's catering to all other people's issues instead of the main issue is me as a human being, as El Basharu. So God say, read, investigate. Look for the signs. Then I go to the second verse. I said, I know the devil mad at me. Satan pissed off because when I was in that studio recording Reed, the brother came to me and said, man, what you want? You want women? You want what you want, a nice car? You want a $75,000 house? I know you in a small house paying rent. You want a $75,000 house that's your own? Sign right here under this dotted line, and I just want you to talk different from what you can talk about God after your fifth album. I just want you to say this in this style right here to these people. You know, I want the old you. I want you to go and rap this way. And I'm like, I said, no, I can't do this. I'm killing the people. So I say, Jesus did it, so I got to give it out. He led me to Muhammad because I asked for that. He said, I know they ain't going to like you even though he worshiping that. I said, man, look, can you see these times crazy, bro? They talking about I'm going to hell. My son was with me when I was doing Dawah. Now, mind you, my son, my oldest son, 10 years old, Darryl Dickens, he's a Christian, but he's a believer because he knows both Bible and the Quran. And he said, Daddy, why are they telling you saying you're going to hell? I said, well, son, now you get to see what Jesus went through because you get to see I'm coming out to try to lift a person up. And this is what they tell me. I said, it's the same thing they told all the prophets. So I'm saying it on, I said in that aspect that this is, I said, they talking about I'm going to hell, bro. He said, you brought me over here to blame me all that? Nah, I brought you over here to show you all this. And he showed me the Quran. He showed me the community of Al-Islam. He showed me New Africa. They took my language. He gave me my language back. They took my culture. He gave me my culture back. They took my government. He gave me my government back. They took my education. He gave me all that back. Al-Quran. And I said, my God. Then I fell down like Moses fell down when the commandments came down. So everything I saw and everything I see and everything I think and everything I be, then I know the whole three. Then God told me to straight read. So those were the things I had to go back and reflect on. And I'm like, wow, now I know who I am. When they say know thyself, now knowing who I am, I'm a righteous Muslim. Then I say, the shackles that came from my brain, walking the path that's fiction, everything that's going on, you see what happened to Whitney, huh? Everything Illuminati, secret society, shaking hands, everything that's going on, they moving off the master plans. But me, I'm moving off God. I'm a poor man with much wisdom, much weight, much study, much prime, much truth, much root, God spirit, much proof with true hope. And it's a true note. God say, read. Then I took them a little further. On the fourth verse, I said I went to Marcus Grade. I went to Marcus Garvey's Grade. Then I went to Malcolm. Then I went to Master Ford, and they told me to go farther. Then I jumped in the water. Now they said, life came from water. We are three veils of darkness. Imam did a lecture, three veils of darkness about the water and the soul. I jumped in the water, and then I went deep. That's when I made it to W.D. Muhammad. He was with me. He showed me all of the scriptures. He showed me artificial humanism. He showed me Yaqub. He showed me everything right there on the wall. Then he took me to Africa to show what happened to fall. And he showed me the Aborigines, African parentheses. But they took it out of our page. That was a play that they done to me. And he said, read. And that was the end of that. That was the end of that song. But all of those that information was telling about how he told me to read.
Yes, sir. Brother, this has to go on the road. And anybody like to join the conversation at 805-727-7013. 805-727-7013, and you will speak live to our brother from Louisiana, not Louisiana. We used to call it Louisiana. I've grown up, it was a dangerous place for an African American. But this brother has shown through the power of God, as he has given his knowledge, wisdom, and understanding to Imam Deputy Imam, that the donkey could speak with a man's voice. And we're going to go out into the highways and hedges and look for men and women and put a human being in our body. Yes, there will be no more chains. There will be no two chains. But there will be two games. Well, y'all get ready to make me a rapper now. I tell you, that's my job. But I want to ask our audience to join us at 805-727-7013. I want to ask you about our brother, Brother Mike Tyson, and what do you think of what happened up in Canada? I'll inform our audience. In Canada, he was there to perform. I love my brother Mike. I know him personally. And yes, the brother asked him a very disrespectful question. He said, "You are a convicted rapist. Will you comment on Brother Mike Tyson and our Muslim brother, Brother Mike, too?"
That right there is a show of here that they try to come in our emotions. I do. He was here and bring him right there.
Okay. Hey, what are you eating right there?
Bring Wazir in the front.
Bad boy. Don't
you make that. Yeah, our brother Mike Tyson. They want to and break him down. He was by saying he a rapist. How long that's gonna happen? This brother done served his time. This brother done done what he's supposed to do. You seen how they seen how this brother was set up and everything. They seen this. This ain't no secret. They know this sister was. That brother didn't do that. But they wanted to use that to break this brother down and try to come at this brother about rape. That's the same way they did with our brother Stanley Tupac Williams. This brother wasn't asking to come home, to go free. That brother was saying, let me stay alive in this life sentence to keep the right books to help children get out of game. Let me help. Let me help the situation, then destroy the situation. And that's the same way with our brother Tyson. This brother went through the wire. This whole brother lifestyle, his brother been fighting, been brawling, all in the streets and everything. And his mom sheltered this brother, gave this brother a beautiful home. And then for them to come and say that's kind of hypocrisy, because this supposed to be a God-forgiving country. We have a God-forgiving forefront. This supposed to be a Christian nation that operates off of forgiveness. So why is you static bringing up old trash, you know, on this brother, when you know that is nothing but the Satan that was in that audience that was throwing that out there to get this brother off his focus?
What do you think about the need? I heard in the background your children, and I'm a father, very proud father of seven children, but I am also a very disturbed father because I have four grandchildren, and I'm really worried about them, because if we don't have the Clara Muhammad school system to educate our children, we're just taking a risk. It's almost like sending your children to worlds for them to educate them. I mean, these people are not educated. How the hell can we expect them to educate our children? So will you comment on the need for Clara Muhammad Muslim schools?
It is a must need. It puts everything back in our it answers
I like the picture that the brother had. The brother had a picture of the boy that was at the desk, and he had a drone on his head, and he had the little girl looking outside at the creation. And in the creation, it showed Fitcher on the ground, and it showed the sun, and it had light and wisdom. And nature, Clara Muhammad School connects us with the nature. It gives us the completion. Not fragmented, because we know in public school is opinionated, and the information that they're given is biased. They even have case law on this, and they can look this up, and they even have teachers who have spoken that's not teachers, now retired teachers, that talk about the public school system and how this public school system is very targeted at taking certain, putting certain class levels above another. So this just in the rows when the children going in these public schools and where they're being sitting, where they're sitting them at. So the education for the Clara Muhammad schools is so much needed in our community, because who going to tell our legacy? We say about reviving our unity and our legacy. Well, who's going to tell our legacy? They're not going to tell our legacy. We saying how they telling our legacy right now with the movie, with this little show they got that's on Fox called Tyrant. And that's a show right there. They got a trick up their sleeves. But this how they telling the legacy. So we don't want them to tell our legacy. We want to be able to tell our legacy. And the way that we tell our legacy is through the Clara Muhammad Schools, because that says something about us. Because without the Clara Muhammad Schools, it's like an ant without a mound.
What?
The ant just wandering around. He ain't got no mound. He don't have no civilization. He don't have no culture. So our Clara Muhammad Schools is our, this is our community, is our civilization.
Uncle Freddy's in the church.
Bubba, I tell you, I'm going to pull a switcheroo, as they say, and I'm going to ask you to ask me questions, and we put a next, well, before the audience, 805-727-7013. We also need you to send your donation to Imam Alfred Muhammad, 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey. Someone sent us a donation from Los Angeles, California. Thank you. We need them.
These programs are not
free. We have about 23 minutes, and I want Brother Imam you to ask me some questions to see whether I can answer some of them. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I got a question. I wanted to ask you this during the Religion Means Alive, when you was mentioning about us having a bank, about group economics, and how much is imperative that group economics is a benefit for us, and could you explain that? You mentioned about a bank.
Yes, sir. I have a physician, board-certified physician, just recently called me. And he needs money. He needs $200,000 to keep his office open. Otherwise, he has to close up. You know, I know
right.
So many of our people that are in need of money. And it seems to me that we have to come together and have a summit. And we have to come together and pool our resources. No business is open. You know, I don't know what they have in Louisiana, but I'm sure they do. Kennedy Fried Chicken, Mississippi Fried Chicken, they're basically owned by Afghans. I've been saying that we need to get in the fast food business, but you can't get in it with air. You need money. So one of the things that Imam Muhammad had come up with was to sell another suit. We need a collective purchase conference again. We need to put the monies up and invest monies in ventures. That's going to be a pool of funds and a private bank money pool. And we will get returns. We need people to hold the money in there 3 years. I'm going to make a proposal to the president about this, because right now I don't think anybody in the community has the trust of the community. And I believe, Brother Imam, this is why they want to split this community up. That's why this guy's pulling for this one. All these people, in my opinion, are being paid by outsiders. They really are not in our interest. Because if we had 50,000 brothers putting up our sisters $1,000 a piece, that would be $50 million. The average merchandise could go, we could go overseas, go to China. 1 month we get a computer. Next month we get whatever the people need. We could turn that money. That's about 8 times. That would be about $400 million. Then the brothers who, and the good brothers who may have selling ability, we could teach them how to sell. Then the brothers who know how to deliver, they could deliver the product. And next thing we know, we're opening up stores. Next thing, we're buying banks. We'll have money taken off the top to build our schools. We'll have decent facilities. I didn't say messages, because I think what we need to do, even if we open up a messages, it should be a school in it. We should always have school, but we should also have a place where we can sell merchandise. You know, we need to get to door-to-door, flat-foot hustling, flat-foot selling.
That's right.
We got a brother over in Mississippi, he got water. We got a brother down in Louisiana, he has chickens. We have a brother in Georgia that is manufacturing food detergent. You know, we got people who got all kinds of products. So we can start small and grow big. In 5 years, we will be buying up our neighborhood. We will own the property. We could buy Harlem back. So I said, we can say individual can't do anything. You know, Billy Man, there is a rule in Islamic law, according to Imam Muhammad, and I accept it, that there is nothing, no salat can be made before Asr. And there's a reason for that. The salat to Asr, next to the last salat before the night takes over, we're told not to make any salat. What is that saying to us? And Allah tells us to guard the Asr salat. Guard it. Why to guard the middle salat? Because that's when civilization began to decline. Then that means there's nothing the individual can do. See, I can't gather together $200,000 to open up a chicken shack. I can't gather $200,000 by myself. But I have to come in a group action. And so the salat that is given in group, which is called the Jamaat Salat or the Fard Salat, it's symbolic of the community effort. We need a community effort to open up stores. We need a community effort to open up schools. We need a community effort to help our elderly, to help our youth. We have brothers right now, they want to go to med school. They don't have the money. That's a collective responsibility. It's a collective responsibility. We have carpenters and we don't have construction companies. I know a businessman right now, he needs about $10,000. If we had a money pool, we could come to us and get that $10,000. Well, he said, I got a $10,000 contract. It's going to bring me $12,000. We said, brother, we'll loan you that $10,000. Pay us back a percentage of the business. If the business fails, we will inspect on a certain percentage. So we got to do that. We got to have a collective approach to economics. A collective money. Maybe the brother said, I don't have any money, but I know I can sell. Well, we'll give you equity for that. Another brother said, I may not sell, but I'm a carpenter. So brother, you build a store out, and he would get sweat equity. Our leaders have to be organizers. They have to be strategizers, and they have to be harmonizers.
That's right. And that deals with us. Yes, sir. That was you answered everything in its totality because I was that deals with the unemployment too as well, because that by us coming together and we coming together pooling our resources because we all have a different type of gifts and we coming together and start incorporating buying buildings and buying property. These are things that we can do, you know, and it's the coming together. It goes back to that unity. Because in the unity, that word for unity in the Quran is also the word for command that Allah used. And when he said he commands something, that same word is used for the word community. So when we come together, we got the force of Allah with us. And that's why it's so much, that's why Willie Lynch knew that in the order to destroy our power is to disunify us. And if we can put one against another, even with our projects, if we can put us one against another, He knew he can. That mechanism will work on us, and we won't never unify together. And that's the power, because when you go in the Spanish community, together, and you can't get in the Spanish community unless you know Spanish language. So look how they invite you to learn the Spanish language. They even give you the Spanish television program. You know, so they give you everything for another community. They know another community because they want you to go in there and buy their goods and services. But for you to know your own language and to know what you need to do in your community, they ain't going to give you those assets. And that's why they don't want that unity to happen, because if that unity can happen, then we're going to have a television network program. We're going to have banks. We're going to have schools that our children go to. We're going to have House representatives. We're going to have a president power that we can be proud to say that is a Muslim African American president, or a Muslim American president as the United States of America. So that's one of the things that if we come together, that can contribute to that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I wonder if you or the audience have any other questions, me or Brother Imam. And Brother Imam, you may have questions for me. I'm glad you're here. You were in the Religion Needs Alive workshop. So if you'd like to ask me some questions, I would be pleased to.
Sir? Yes, sir. Yes, I kind of disconnected from you. What you said?
I was asking if you have any other questions you would like to pose to me. I'm flipping the script. I was asking you questions.
Oh.
I said, now it would be only
yes.
If you asked me questions.
I'm telling you. Yes, sir. About the women. Because, you know, a lot of people want to know about the woman's voice and about her concern. And I noticed that you cater to that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It is. I was influenced by Imam W.D. Muhammad when he wrote a book called Man and Woman in Islam. He talked about how the second characteristic of Allah, Man and Rahim, is very similar to the feminine nature. Secondly, Imam Muhammad said an imam should have a motherly concern. And that's what I detect in you. That's what I detect in the good imam. The good imam is concerned about the community. The good imam, and that we heard the word ummi, we heard that in it. And that's the mother nature. So we have to protect the mother nature. What has been destroyed in the African American community, especially in the last 50 years, is the mother nature. We want to encourage our women, said, men, go out front, as Imam Muhammad said. Go and conquer the world for God. Raise our sons to be leaders and rulers. You know, we have Sister Aisha K. Mustafa, the head of our paper. Her role is to be, she's a leader. Now, there are some who are arguing that women should be imams. I saw that in the paper on Facebook. Now, I'm not going to go crazy because somebody thinks they that she can be an imam. The role of a man is to be the physical force in the society. And God made these verses for a reason. God says that the male nature, the ufan, and the doctrine are not alike. And I'm going to tell you something. I had a female cat and I had a male cat. And I had about eight female cats, and not one of those female cats would kill those mice. I had one male cat, and he killed rats. Not mice, rats. So God says that the man is to be the maintainer, the kadimun, maintainer of society, the protector. And he's made the man a degree above a woman. Yes. What does that mean? That doesn't mean in all cases. There are some women that have degrees above men. You know, they got more testosterone. That doesn't make them a lesbian. It just makes them a woman who has strong tendency. But God wants us to respect the sex differences. And he wants the man to be the head of the household. And God also wants
the man to gain the material resources. Now, some of us are unemployed, underemployed, but we should come together as men and make sure that we provide the economic wherewithal. Now, women should be merciful, peaceful, and prayerful, and should I pray and be just like Sister Clara Muhammad was? And I said, is, because Sister Clara Muhammad didn't only raise Imam Wahdeen Muhammad. She was the one that went and got the Abulah of Muhammad out of a drunken stupor and brought him to her master plot. And I assisted him to go and get these brothers, to go into her brother Imam Abdul Latif. Come to my basement and hear him teach. And I guarantee you, if they heard him teach, he's going to transform your lives. Just like Master Murad transformed the lives of Abulah Muhammad. There are millions of our men out here, drunk, on drugs, on alcohol. And the only reason they drunk on drugs and on alcohol is because they can't support their family. So don't beat the man
That's
down.
Right.
Pick him up. Get him a
That's
check
right.
for Imam W.D. Muhammad. Huh?
That's
Give
right.
him something to pick up. Give him something that's going to build him up. And that's the role that the women is. Raise your son to be a leader. Raise your son to compete against Bill Gates. Raise your son to compete against Warren Buffett. Not to be
that's
jealous
right.
of Warren Buffett. Not to be jealous
right.
of the white man. But now Muhammad
that's right.
needs to pick the biggest white man and be competitors of him.
I'm not like that.
Competitors with Zuckerberg. Competitors with Bill Gates. And if we do that, and our women do that, that will serve the role. But I also want to say that all these crazy listening groups that you have out here, killing women, disrespecting women, all of that is to tell African Americans not to join Ellis Law. That's
right.
to undermine us from becoming the leaders of America. And I can guarantee you, I believe within the next 20 years, we will see Muslim African-American presidents of these United States, one right after another, and America will
That's
become
correct.
A majority of Muslim countries. Certainly influence.
That's right.
We have a call up from 973, Brother Imam Adib Shaka. You're on the air with religion means to
that. Thank you.
Well, thank you,
Mike. Thank you, Mike.
Yes, sir, brother, ma'am. I'm enjoying the conversation. You have a lot of background. Somebody have a lot of background. And I can't really hear what's going on because there's a lot of background noise. And on one of those telephones you all are dealing with, you know, it'll be good if you can get that background noise out of there. You know, but I didn't have intention of saying anything today. Until you got into the part about the women. You understand what I'm saying? Because I've been studying the situation with us for some time as African-American people, and I study our women. And you mentioned about Sister Clara Muhammad and the role that she played. You know, Sister Clara Muhammad was a stay-at-home mother. You understand what I'm saying? She was hands-on with her family. You know, and that what makes a big difference in women in society, as to how she pushes her man forward and making him strong in society. You know, once a woman leaves the house and have to go out into the society and work the same as a man do in the society, then she loses something of her womanhood, especially as a mother, with that mother role and that role of the woman to push the man forward. See, the Caucasian, the European women can go out there in society and work side by side with her men, you understand what I'm saying, because her men basically runs the society. So she doesn't see herself as above her men, You know what I'm saying? But when our women goes out into society, see, our women doesn't come and work side by side with us. They go work side by side with the European men. And then the European men become the force in her life that she looks up to. She doesn't look up to her men. You know what I'm saying? I was listening to the radio this week, and they were talking about what has happened to all the good black men. You know what I'm saying? See, Caucasian women don't see that. They don't ask that question. What have happened to all the good Caucasian men? You know, but our women, they keep feeding these type of notion into the minds of our women, so they really don't have that the word I'm looking for is she doesn't see her men as being the strength that she needs to follow, to support, to make strong. You know, she's more connected to the European because that's where she sees the source of her money coming from. So that's why it's important for us as men in the subside, African-American men, to unify ourselves, to establish ourselves economically in our community so that we can, those women that want to stay home, there's a lot of women that would like to stay home and, you know, take care of their children, raise their children, and support their men. So we have to give them that opportunity, but we have to first establish ourselves economically to provide that type of opportunity for them to stay at home. And we will see the change in our whole society. Even our children, behavior would be different. Because right now the children don't have anybody there to raise them. They're basically raising themselves and the TV, the radio, the computer. And this is how our children are being raised today. So, you know, we have all kind of stuff in the minds of our people, man, that we don't even realize what's going on in the head of our own children anymore. You know, so that's why we are where we at in society as a people. We don't educate our children. We don't have a school system for our children. You know, so everybody else is teaching them. So and we don't know exactly what they're being taught half of the time. You know, so we are really behind the eight ball. So I seriously push for us to educate our children, be serious about it. I mean, not just talk about it occasionally. We should talk about this every day. Yes, sir. This should be the conversation on our tongue every day until we get ourselves in that position. Educate our own people. Educate our own children. Create jobs for our own people. Create jobs for our own wives. It would be all right if our wives are going out into society and they're working for us. You know what I'm saying? Then we will have a better relationship with our wives and our women, you know, once they are working for us. But anytime that our women and our wives have to go out and work for other people, people of other ethnic background, you understand what I'm saying? They give their loyalty to those people that are paying them their money. And this is what we have to change in the society. That's about all I have to say today.
Brother, you said a mouthful. You said 10,000 mouthfuls full, because that's what we need. That's what life is all about, building communities. You go into the Hasidic Jewish community, and that wife is in that shop. She's seeing that those children and that Jewish child is in that yeshiva studying. That man is devoted. Sometimes you don't even see the woman. They don't let you even have any contact with her, that she's behind the counter assisting her husband. We have to bring that to our society. And I know our women want that. They want to support us. And we have to, they've been carrying a load. But we as men should not be satisfied until we can be the providers and the protectors. And we can't do that as individuals. We get to do that collectively. It requires large sums of money to develop even a small business is hundreds of thousands of dollars. But the collective purchase, if we had a brother could have a catalog and sell suits, and then the suits are delivered, that we can get out of this horrible situation we're in if we were to come together. That's why I support mosque caring. That's why I support the convention. That's why I support the cultural program. That's why I support the Claire Muhammad school system. Brother, man, we got about 1 minute. Will you close us out?
Yes, sir. I want to give the next time to Regine. This is Allahu Rahman Rahim. By the token of time through the ages, barely man is lost except those that have faith, practice, right, and deeds, join together, mutual teachings of truth, patience, and constancy. Amen.
We'll see you tomorrow at 3 o'clock on Religion Means Alive, where our guest and speaker will be Brother Imam Abdul Latif, and followed by my lecture, it will be The Business of the Bible. Tell everybody you see, everybody you know, this is for Christians, Muslims, African Americans from Rio de Janeiro all the way to Halifax, Nova Scotia. That includes Bermuda, too, because we have people in Bermuda. And anywhere else where our people are suffering, and they are definitely suffering, we want to bring them to the promised land. Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You've listened once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive.